This is Father David Celery from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut, with this week's focus, the gift of rejection. Dear friends, here's a candid confession. I don't handle rejection very well. I'm working on it, but it still gets to me. You see, I always figure if I'm trying my best, that should be obvious to everyone, and they should at least try to meet me partway. Most of the time, that works out pretty well, but when it doesn't, my first reaction is to get a bit cranky and feel sorry for myself. But with lots of prayer and reflection, such as in this week's gospel, I've made a lot of progress. I've come to see that rejection is an opportunity to draw closer to Christ and to witness his love. In this week's gospel, we see Jesus not only rejected by his neighbors, some of them want to throw him off a cliff, but with all the power of heaven and earth at his bidding, Jesus doesn't respond with a sharp dose of fire and brimstone. He doesn't even get in their faces. Rather, he avoids confrontation and humbly slips away, remarking, ironically, that hometown crowds, well, they can be pretty tough on prophets. Most significantly, there's no spite in Jesus. He doesn't repay rejection with rejection. He knows our weaknesses. He's not here looking for a better class of sinners to redeem. He doesn't call off Calvary. He goes to the cross for the folks who ran him out of town, as well as for those who drove the nails, swung the scourge, and jammed the crown of thorns down on his head. He goes to the cross for you and me, not in spite of our rejection, but because of it. He takes our pride, our indifference, our hypocrisy, our rejection, and he gives back his love. Rejection, well, it's a two-way street. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably dishing it out as often as we're getting it. Why do we do it? Why are we compelled to turn disagreement into rejection and punctuate it with a put-down? I guess psychologists would tell you it's insecurity. Put in more theological terms, pride is the root of rejection, the pride to work our will on others, the pride that cannot abide contradiction, the pride that casts relationships as contests. The antidote for rejection is not to become a yes man or a non-committal nebish. We must recognize that rejection is part of the human condition. It's ubiquitous, but it's not inevitable. We need not become either a bullying practitioner or a sullen victim. Honesty, that's the basis for all communication, but it should always be tempered by Christian charity. It may be tempting to reinforce our opinion with a zinger, but for all concerned, it's always more effective to state your case, not only with conviction, but also with courtesy, kindness, and respect. And when we feel rejected, what better example than Jesus, who told us, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. Jesus fled from the synagogue, but he did not flee from his mission. He saw no need to make a macho statement. This momentary rejection, yes, it was disappointing, but not surprising. It would not be his last rejection on the way to Calvary. Jesus was and is human as well as divine. And by definition, he felt our pain, our frustration, our rejection. But he gave it all back to the Father in forgiveness and in sacrificial offering for our redemption as he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." My friends, Jesus takes us well beyond the clinical pragmatics of creating better social outcomes. Christ did not come to conduct a seminar on transactional analysis, repaying rejection with love. It's the heart of Christianity. In Christ, rejection becomes a very special opportunity for us to love our neighbor, to give our disappointment to God, to seek his will in prayer, and more fully experience his peace. My friends, that's the gift of rejection. This has been Father David Celery from St. John's Church in Salisbury, Connecticut. To learn more, visit me at davidcelery.org or follow me on Facebook, iTunes, or Twitter. God love you.